just remain standing if you will. If you've got your Bibles, want to turn to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Again, I appreciate that song, When We All Get to Heaven. A good old song there, amen. And I don't know that I'd ever noticed it before, but the lady that wrote that song apparently was really concentrating, thinking about seeing Jesus. She talked about the street of gold. She talks about the mansions. But a couple of different verses, she talks about seeing Him, seeing Him, seeing Him. That's what's going to make heaven heaven, by the way. Amen. You've heard it, but it's right. Jesus will outshine the street of gold. Jesus will outshine the mansions. Jesus will outshine everything. He'll outshine them all. Amen. When we get there, He's what will make heaven heaven for us. Amen and amen. Well, I want to say I appreciate my wife. I know we're here at our anniversary. This is not an anniversary speech, but I appreciate my wife going with me and being there. All this stuff we talk about going through and everything, I appreciate her being right by my side, and has been for a long time. I was joking. I said Batman and Robin there, but everybody needs somebody. God says it's not good for man to be alone. Amen. We need somebody, and I thank God for sending me Melissa. Amen. And it's a blessing to me, and I don't say it a lot. I'm not a very mushy person. I'm squishy, but I'm not mushy. Amen. But I appreciate her. By the way, think about vehicles and things. Melissa told me about this yesterday, so we done it. Looked up on Kelley Blue Book, see what our vehicle's worth, and it asked, is the tank full or not? It's worth more if it is, a lot more. Amen. All right, Romans chapter number 5, we'll read the first 11 verses. Let's read them together. I'll read the first one. You'll come in on the second, and you know how we've been doing that. We'll read down through verse number 11. All right, Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Oh my, I'm not sure I do that. Are you? Lord, help us. Amen. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We'll stop reading there. Thank God for His blessings. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Steve Vincent, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Well, these 11 verses, I think, do go together, and they deal with the section that we're going to be dealing with today. I don't intend on covering all 11 of these. Matter of fact, I'm going to comment on the first 5, but I'm really going to preach through the first 2 verses that we read in your hearing. We're preaching about salvation is forever. We talked about already that salvation is free. We talked about the fact that salvation is by faith. Now today we're going to talk about salvation is forever. Amen. Romans chapter number 5 deals with that point. Matter of fact, in chapters number 1 through 3, we looked at how God sees us. In chapter number 4, we looked at how God saves us. And now in chapter number 5, we're going to talk about how God secures us. Amen. I'm glad I don't have a wishy-washy God. Flip-flopping God. Amen. I'm glad I've got a God that when he says something, you can bank on it. He's not a politician. Amen. He's not a man that he should lie, what the Bible said. He's not fallible. He is infallible. So you can trust him. You can trust his word. By the way, I'm glad I got a word I can trust. Amen. Glad I got a Bible I can trust. Amen. But by way of introduction and by way of remembrance, I want to point out three proof texts about what I just said already, that salvation is free, number one. If you look back at chapter number 3 and verses 21 and 22, you can see that is a statement involved in this. Verse number 21 of Romans chapter 3 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." By the way, he goes on, if I didn't read verse 23, but we know it very well, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now here's a question. If all are sinners, then who could be saved? Reckon all could be saved? I think so. If all are sinners because of Adam, surely the death of Christ is able. Now it's not that, I'm not saying all men will be saved. That won't happen. But they could be. They have nobody to blame. They can't blame God for it. They can't blame Adam for it. Can't blame their mom and daddy for it. They have to accept responsibility. Amen. For all have sinned. But he said, he said in verse number 22, I underline that phrase, unto all and upon all them that believe. It is unto us, but it's only upon them that believe. If you don't believe, you don't get it. Amen. I don't remember who I was reading. It might have been John Phillips that said this. He's talking about Abraham believed God. It was counted to him righteous. He said, Abraham did the only thing a man can do without doing anything. He believed. Abraham did the only thing he could do without doing anything. He believed God. Amen. That's not a work. Right. And, of course, I could tie that to repentance. If believing's a work, then if repentance is a work, then believing must be a work. They're tied together, no question. But salvation is free. It's offered freely. All right, number two, salvation is by faith. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse number 4. It already said that. We already read it. He talks about in by faith and believing on Jesus over and over. But Romans 4:4, "Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." I wrote it. That's not the one I'm looking for. Yep, that'll work though. It is free. You didn't work to receive it. Amen. You didn't work to receive it. You just followed the Lord. Amen. Amen. Believed on the Lord. And let's see if I can find the verse I was looking for, because I got it wrote down here, but it's not that verse. Verse 5, that'll work. Verse 5 is it. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith," there it is "counted for righteousness." It's not works that you do. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy. It is by faith, grace through faith, amen, that God has saved us by his goodness. That's what he's talking about. So salvation is free, salvation is by faith, and then salvation is forever. Look at the first two verses of chapter number 5, I believe that tells us it's forever. "Therefore, being justified." The word "being" does not mean now that we have been. It means that I am and will forever be. Amen. You're not a human being. You're a human being. Because as long as you live, you'll be a human. I guess some people are confused about that nowadays. Maybe. But it doesn't matter how you identify. Be honest with you, you're a human being. And if you're a justified being, then you'll be justified forever. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have presently peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand." By the way, that stand, that is a positional place. Amen. firm. We're not going to move. We're not slipping and sliding. We're not in and out. We're standing there in this position. Amen. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, that's just groundwork. Having established the fact, Paul did in chapter number 4, he established the fact that justification is by faith alone. Now, and I'm not just picking on other religions, but Catholics believe justification is by faith, but not alone. Faith plus works. Matter of fact, some Protestants believe that. The main Protestant revolution, I guess you'd say, was strong on that faith alone. Sola fide. Faith alone. Faith alone. Faith alone. But Hillary Clinton, when she met with the Pope, made the statement that she said, our religions are the same. She's a Methodist, by the way. She said, our religions are the same in that we believe in faith plus works bring salvation. Now, I don't know if Hillary Clinton's a good representative of the Methodist belief. I hope not. They hope not, I'm sure. Half the country hopes not. Amen. And I'm not being, but I'm just truthful. But here's my point. We know that Paul established that fact in chapter number 4 that salvation is by faith, but it is faith alone. It's just faith. Nothing added to it. Plus nothing, minus nothing. But what is the faith? It's not just faith in anything. When we're talking about salvation by faith, we understand it is salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Nobody else, they sang the song, nobody else could do what he has done. Nobody else could take our burdens from us. Amen. Nobody else could do what he has done. And so salvation is by faith alone. Paul has established that fact. Now, I want to delve into how that he builds on that as he moves along in this chapter and the chapters to come. We'll see even more as we go there. But this doctrine that Paul is establishing and is further and promoting that justification is by faith stands upon the scripture, and he uses the scripture to prove it. Look back at chapter number 4 and the last three verses of chapter 4 lead us into chapter 5. You know, Paul, when he wrote his epistle, didn't break it down into chapters and verses. It's one long letter, and these go together. But look at verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, or imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So he's laying the principle. What is our faith in? Our faith is in what Jesus did on Calvary. You might call that faith in Christ. You might call that faith in God. Because he says here, look at verse number 24 again. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead? Well, he raised himself up. Amen. The Son and the Father are one. But we look at it as God raised Jesus from the dead. Why? To prove that he was just in what he did and that we that believe on him are justified. That's what he said. He was raised again, verse 25, for our justification. To prove that God was satisfied with the death and burial and proved it in the resurrection of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got faith in Christ, you got faith in God, but what is that faith based on? It is based on what has been written. That's what he said. Verse number 24, 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone. Abraham was justified by faith hundreds of years before it was ever written down that he was justified by faith. Why did God bother to write it down? He wrote it down for your faith and for my faith. He wrote it down for us that we might believe those same principles. Amen. And that's what Paul is laying out for the Romans, by the way, as well. And so this chapter number 4 closes out the chapter with a foundation and showing you that this justification stands on a firm foundation. It rests on Jesus Christ. It rests on God. It rests on the scriptures, the word of God. Amen. Now, if salvation had been based on works, then it would have all depended on what the sinner does. But since salvation is by faith, I'll say grace through faith, then it all depends on what the Savior did. Amen. God's not looking to see what you or I do. People say, well, I'm not sure if I prayed the right prayer when I got saved. I'm not sure if I said the right words. I'm not sure if I wept enough tears. I'm not sure if salvation's not in I. Salvation's not in what you do. Salvation is in what Christ did. Amen. It's all based on what the Savior has done. Now, these next five verses particularly speak about the benefits that come from this doctrine. When we embrace this doctrine of justification by faith, and these next five verses deal with the blessings that come from that, both in life, which is now, and the life which is to come. And so look with me at verse number one. We'll cover the first two verses this morning. Verse number one, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word therefore, you see that word therefore, you've heard it said, you ought to find out what it's there for. It's referring back to the other things as well as what precedes. He could say this way, since we have been justified by faith. Because we've been justified by faith. Or he could have even left that word out. He could have just started out being justified by faith. What he's saying here is, because we've been justified by faith, we have some benefits. We have some things that come along with that. Amen. The first thing he mentions is that we have peace with God. Amen. Couldn't help but grin when Brother Duncan was testifying about peace. Talking about peace. I couldn't help but grin when Brother Ricky was praying this morning in Sunday school and even up here talking about the war going on and things that out, you know, in the world, and this could be the end. We don't know. Amen. Nobody knows, to be honest with you, what's to take place in these things to come. But I think about our world at war. Peace is something people long for. Peace, especially peace with God, is something that a lot of people have longed for and yet never attained. They've never gotten there. Amen. We live in a world in conflict. We have all kinds of conflict. You got conflict on the job. You got conflict in politics. Amen. You think about, Joshua told me, he said, if you got one criminal is a crook, two criminals or more is a law firm, three criminals or more is a Congress. Probably about right. But you got conflict in these political things. We got conflict, even in their church sometimes. We got conflict in homes. Parents against the children against the parents, even husband against wife or vice versa. There's conflict and I'm telling you, it's bad. It's not good when there's conflict going on. Amen. I don't know that there's anybody that actually enjoys conflict. Right? I don't know that there is. Some people almost seem like they do, but I'm not sure. I think they just enjoy stirring in it, and I've been accused of that a time or two. But, I got more than one people nodding their head at me, and I wish y'all'd quit that. Amen. Amen me when I say something right, but don't nod your head when I say something derogatory about myself, all right? But anyway. No, but seriously, conflict's not good. We want peace. We want peace on the job. We want peace in the world. We'd like to have peace in politics. I would say quit arguing about politics. I do. Amen. Biden blames Trump. Trump blames Obama. Obama blames Bush. I just keep going. Somebody blames George Washington. Yeah. I wish there'd just be some peace about all that. But especially in our homes. I wish husbands and wives could get along. Children and parents could get along. Church members could get along. Amen. What a wonderful thing peace is. And by the way, he says that's what we get when we come to know Christ. Amen. It is available to have peace. It is possible to have peace. How is it possible? When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that it makes peace in Ukraine, but it makes peace in you. Amen. Not that it makes peace between you and your family necessarily, but it makes peace in you. Amen. There is a peaceableness down in your heart. Amen. Now, the fact that we now have peace with God, I think, precludes the idea and admits to the fact that before that, we was at war with God. We might have claimed that we weren't. We might have said, you know, me and God got our own thing going. He goes his way and I go mine. And we're doing all right. But in reality, we was at war with God. Whether we like to admit it or not. Amen. Whether we were adamantly or vocally or physically or expressly at war with God, we were warring with God. Spiritually. Romans chapter number 8, if you want to turn there, I'll show you a verse. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 7. I've got several here. I may just read some of them, but Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The mind, the fleshly mind, is against God. That's what he's saying. When we were lost and we had no spirituality about us at all, we were at spiritual odds with our God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, you don't have to turn. It says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know what he said? We were on the outside and we were against God. Amen. James chapter number 4, verse number 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So when we were running arm in arm with the world, we were going against God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen. God was reconciling the world unto himself. You know what that means? That means that they were at war. The world was at war with God. There was enmity between the two, and God was making peace. Amen. At one time, the wrath and anger of God was kindled against us. By the way, that's where you got to come to that recognition in order to get saved, I believe. There comes a time you recognize, hey, wait a minute. The Lord's not on my side. I'm not on his side. We're at odds with one another. And I don't stand a chance if I'm warring against God. Amen. And we have to recognize how much we need the Lord. So God's anger burned against us. But now, because of the justification by faith, we have peace with God. How do we get that? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have peace with God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Turn to John chapter number 3, and I'll show you that even John chapter 3, that wonderful chapter, talks about the love of God for the world, ends up talking about the adversity between God and the world. Romans, or John chapter 3, and verse number 36, last verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But look at this, underline this phrase. But the wrath of God abideth on him. I wrote in the margin of my Bible, people are walking around with the wrath of God upon them. Yeah. You know why? Because they're against God. That maybe they've not declared war, but war's been declared. They're against God. But by the grace through faith, we have peace with God. I preached a message here some years ago on the peace treaty has been signed. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I remember rejoicing. It was a Sunday morning sermon. I rejoiced and wept and shouted and praised God through the sermon. Amen. I'm glad that there can be peace with God. Now, I put this note in here. I got a couple of notes I want to mention about this, and I'm going to move on from that phrase. But in this generation of religion that we live in, many people, if not most people probably, might be appalled and even taken aback at the message that God is against them. You know, they think really God's just a teddy bear. I mean, anytime you need to run to him, squeeze him, and he'll get you through the night. He's just a teddy bear. He's just an umbrella. When you run in a storm, grab him out. He'll be there. Boy, he'll shed the water off of you and he'll, that's not the God we're serving. Our God's not a spare tire. I'm glad he's a good God. I'm glad he is there when people run to him many times. I'm glad He does shield us from many things. Even when you are without grace, when you are outside of grace, you're never really totally outside of the grace of God. Amen. God's been merciful, but they might be shocked and amazed to find that God looks upon sinners with anger and wrath. He's angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. Amen. They think He only looks at them with sympathetic love. They certainly do not believe there's a spiritual war going on between God and sinners. But listen, God is a holy God. Lost humanity are unholy sinners. Amen. They're unholy sinners. And therefore, by the way, no matter what their morality, no matter what their religiosity, they're ungodly sinners. They're unholy sinners. Therefore, they are against God. God must be at war with sin. Amen. God must be at war with sin. Therefore, God is at war with the sinner. God's at war with unholiness. God's at war with unrighteousness. Therefore, He must be at war with the sinner until he repents and believes the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, think about this. In this war going on between God and the sinner, God did not declare the war. God did not instigate the war. Amen. God didn't start out against you. You went against God. Amen. God did not make mankind against God. God made mankind in fellowship with God, with the ability to fellowship with God. Amen. With the inclination to fellowship with God, but man decided to go against God. Amen. And every man since that time has gone against God. Amen. And so there's war that's been declared. You take a toddler. Those of you who's got toddlers. There's a time when they just do wrong. They don't know they're doing wrong. Amen. Little girls pull their dress up over their head. But they shouldn't be doing that when they're 15, 16 years old. Matter of fact, I mean, and by the way, you don't start teaching them when they turn 12. Right. All right. I ain't got time to teach on parenting, but there's a time, you watch that little toddler and you'd say no. And there's a time they start. And they may even say no. Samuel's doing that. Samuel say no, no. He'll reach for something. They say no, no. And he'll reach for it again. Say no, no. Amen. But there also comes a time when you say don't. And they go full bore. You know what they've done? They've declared war against you. They are not going to listen to your word. You know what you got to do? You got to rein them in. Amen. Amen. And again, you start while they're still little and you're big enough to handle them. Amen. But here's what God did. God made us. And you know what we did? God said, don't, we do. Whatever God said, don't, we do. We test it, we tempt it, we try it, but then we just full bore say, I don't care what that Bible says. I don't care what that preacher says. I don't care what anybody says. We may not say those words, or we may, but we have that mentality. And war has been declared against God. So man declared it. But here's what God did. God strategically moved so that peace could be made. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God put His Son in the midst of wicked sinners. God allowed His Son to live a holy, godly life in the midst of sinners. And God allowed His Son to die a sacrificial death to pay the debt for those sinners. Amen. Amen. So God strategically moved that peace could be made between God and the sinner. When Jesus died on Calvary and Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He had multiple people on His mind. I personally believe He had everybody on His mind and they could have been saved, but only as far as I know at the cross, only the thief and maybe that Roman soldier that pierced His side. That one thief that had railed against Him got saved. No question about it. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. That Roman soldier that pierced His side after His death said, surely or truly this must be the Son of God. Perhaps he believed and got saved. I hope so. Amen. But my point is this. Whosoever will can, but it's all through Christ Jesus. That's where we can have peace. That's where peace comes from, is through our Lord Jesus Christ. But when men obstinately reject not only God, but His Son, they reject the price that has been paid. They reject the offer that has been made. You know what they're doing? They're adding fuel to the fire of the wrath of God. They're stoking the fire of their own destruction. They're trampling underfoot the blood of Christ and counting it as an unholy thing. That's what the book of Hebrews says. Amen. They're going to have a much sorer punishment than these others. Amen. They're stoking the fire of their own destruction. Well, second note I want to make about this peace with God thing is I remember the day when I felt that peace down in my heart. Brother Ricky, how long ago did you say it was yesterday? 26 years ago yesterday. Amen. 26 years ago yesterday. And he remembers it. I hope you remember it. Now, everybody don't shout when they get saved. Everybody don't get emotional when they get saved. Everybody don't jump pews, run aisles, hug people's neck, slobber and carry on, all that. But everybody gets peace in their heart when they get saved. But yeah, yeah. So this blessing of peace, have you experienced it? Do you long for it? Are you willing to trust God for it? Amen. Peace with God. All this blessing of peace with God, he says, comes through, look at verse 5 again, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus paid the price. Jesus bore the sin. Amen. He brings the peace to us. Amen. He brings the justification, the righteousness that satisfies God. Amen. Jesus alone is the mediator between God and men. You know that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Christ died for all. That's what he said. He's the one mediator. Now, the world knows nothing about peace of mind. They don't have peace of heart. They don't have the peace of God. They don't have peace with God. Amen. But the believer, when he turns from his sin, turns to Christ, he immediately receives peace in his heart. Peace of mind and peace with God. Now, here's what I was thinking about. Brother Jacob, I was thinking about how, I remember how I felt, Brother Ricky, you said 26 years ago, remember how I felt that fifth Sunday in June 1974 before I got saved. I remember sitting in the Sunday school class, feeling the condemnation pressing down on me. I didn't know a whole lot. I was 8 years old. A whole lot of things I didn't know. But I really felt like that the burden of sin was laying heavy on my soul. I felt like God was against me. Was there any hope for me? What could I do? But when I called on God for salvation, all of a sudden that condemnation rolled away. God turned to me not in anger, but in love. Amen. I found out, I found out that God all that time had not necessarily been chasing me with a sword trying to kill me. He'd been chasing me with his arms wide open trying to love me. Amen. Trying to save me. Amen. By his grace, he's willing to save me. Amen. All that rolled away in an instant. Amen. I didn't shout and I didn't jump pews and I didn't know a whole lot. I didn't even know how long it would last. Amen. But I had peace in my heart. God wasn't against me anymore. Instead of a frown, I had a smile. Amen. Amen. I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about from God. That's what I was experiencing. Amen. Peace. Peace. Now, I wrote it this way. Although many things on the outside may not have changed when a person gets saved. I'm talking about at that moment. They may not have yet got a haircut. May not yet have changed their wardrobe. May not yet started tithing and learning their Bible and being faithful to the house of God. But something has happened the moment they get saved. There's peace in their heart. Amen. The prophet Isaiah prophesied about the effects of righteousness and the works of God. Here's what he said, Isaiah 32, verse 17, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." Amen. Amen. So he said, here's what peace is going to do. Peace is going to work. Righteousness is going to work peace. And he said that that effect of that righteousness is going to be quietness and assurance. That goes along with peace, by the way. Not turmoil and strife, but quietness and assurance. And here's how long he said it's going to last. It's going to last forever. Now, I'm not going to say that people that don't believe it's going to last forever are not believers. They're just mistaken. Amen. Some people are not believing in the Lord, not trusting the Lord at all. They're trusting in themselves for their salvation. Trusting in their faith, trusting in what they've worked, trusting in their prayer, whatever the case is. Whatever that case is. But those that have truly trusted Christ, whether they know it or not, are saved forever. Now, here's what I got to think about. I got to think about those believers that worry whether or not this salvation is going to last forever. Some of them worry if it's going to last a full day. If it can't last a day, it ain't going to last forever. If it can't last a lifetime, it's not going to last forever. Amen. But here's what Isaiah said. Isaiah said this faith or this righteousness is going to produce peace and it's going to last forever. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful thing that the believer has peace with God and that the believer has a faith that is going to last forever and ever. Amen. Once he gets saved, once he believes on Christ, it's going to last. Amen. He doesn't have to fear the wrath of God. He doesn't have to fear death. He doesn't have to fear judgment. He's received peace with God. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. But he also receives more than that. Look at verse number 2, and I'll finish with verse number 2. By whom also, the by whom is talking about Christ now, also, more than this, we have also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we receive peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have also, you might underline that, something else. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, I believe that upon the surrender of the soul to God for salvation, immediately peace floods the heart of the believer. Amen. Amen. The heart, soul, and mind, we're no longer at enmity with God. Amen. And by the way, I know salvation is not a mental thing, but it does something for your mental. Amen. And there is a mental capacity to it because God made us that way. But we're mental and spiritual and our mind, our heart, our soul, however you want to say that. Peace floods those things because we're no longer enmity with God. But not only does that peace come into us with this new life, but we have access into this grace. In other words, not only is my mind clear, I'm a new creature. I went from being a sinner to being a saint. I went from being a child of wrath to being a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. In a moment when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, through our Lord Jesus, gave us access into a whole new life. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So we've got access into this grace. Now, let me interject this note. I know that there are some that make the profession and declare, I've heard people say, I have always been in grace. Never a time that I wasn't in grace. Some say, I'm one of the elect of God. I've never been outside of grace. This verse says we've got access means we were allowed in. Again, if we are now at peace, precludes the fact we were at war. If we are now brought in, precludes the fact we must have been outside. When God said to Noah, come thou and thy family into the ark. You know what that says? It says they wasn't in. But God brought them in. There was a time we were not in this grace. We were outside the will of God. Again, not that we didn't have grace. God, even when we're outside of grace, there's grace. I don't understand all that, but God's still good. He's just such a good God. But it's not this grace that he's talking about here, this grace of salvation. There was a time that we were not in. Amen. We are allowed access by faith into this grace. By the way, I said that all that, the words preclude that. And if you'll just be honest with yourself, you've got to admit there was a time you was outside. Looking in, if you want to say it that way. You was outside. But thank God isn't it a blessing to be on the inside? Amen. It's a blessing. to be a part of the family of God. That song says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. Amen. Listen, we ought to notify our face that we're glad to be a part of the family of God. Yeah. We ought to notify our neighbor. They ought not think, well, they got to go to church. Well, they just have to go to church all the time. No, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. I'm glad God made a difference in my life. I'm glad for the peace that came into my life and for God putting me in His family. Amen. Amen. Well, even when we were outside, we experienced grace from God, but it was grace that He didn't immediately cast us into hell. Amen. It was grace when the first time you heard the gospel and you said no, God didn't turn you off. Amen. It's grace that He came back again. It's grace that He kept coming back until you surrendered. Amen. Amen. So we got the grace. I'm glad I got in. Amen. And by the way, you only get in through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the door. He's the only way in. How do you get in through Jesus? By believing on the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, he says we got access. I thought about this. I wrote down three verses here about access. We have access into this grace. We have access to the mercy seat. Thank God. Amen. We have access to the throne of grace. God's throne. We have access. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2 verse 18 says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I'm glad that now I can cry, Abba, Father. Amen. I'm glad that I can pray. I'm not praying to some God I don't know. Brother Matt was teaching there about Jonah, the mariners. They called on God. They didn't know God. They talked about God probably, like he said, I personally believe they're probably so superstitious, they just thought this God will add him to our gods. He'll just be another one of the gods. I'm glad I'm not praying to somebody I don't know. I'm glad now I can pray to God who is my Father. Amen. I have access to God. All right. Chapter number 3, verse 12 of Ephesians says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. Hebrews 10:11, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We can come to God in prayer. We have access. Because we're His children. Now you've heard stories like this and statements like this. I don't have access to the White House. Amen. I got access to my congressman. I can call him if I want to. And they say he'll reply. More than likely, one of his workers take my call or probably listen to the voicemail after I choose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 with choose my option. Pick which one to find and leave a message. One of his minions will listen to the message maybe and send a reply. But I'm glad I can call heaven and I don't have to punch 1, 2, 3, or 4. I'm glad I can call the Father. Amen. I know who He is and He knows who I am. Amen. Amen. Song they sing around here. He knows my name. I'm glad He does. He knows who we are. Amen. So here he says, look back at verse number 2 again, by whom we have access by faith into this grace. Now look at this next phrase, wherein we stand. This is how we stand. Now, there's a lot of ways you can look at that. You can say the standing that he's talking about is standing in judgment. He says in Psalm 1 that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. It doesn't mean they'll not be judged. It means they won't have a leg to stand on. But we've got standing because we've got an advocate with the Father. Amen. Because as far as the law is concerned, we that have believed in Christ are justified. Amen. Justified. That's right. Reading the thing said that... several years ago, a rich man in England bought a Rolls Royce. He had to be rich to buy a Rolls Royce. Bought a Rolls Royce, had it shipped to France. He's in southern France, driving it around, and he had a mechanical problem. Even Rolls Royces have those. He called because he is rich and wealthy, he called the Rolls-Royce company. You know what they did? They put a man on a plane and flew him to France to fix his car. Well, the fellow thought he'd get a whopping bill out of all that. And so he waited and waited, and after a while, a few months, he never got a bill. So he calls the company up and he says, I want to balance my record. I want to take care of it. You know what they said? They said, we don't have any record that your car ever broke down or any record that anybody ever came out. You know what they're doing? They're denying that it ever broke down is what they're doing. But you know what they're saying? Your record's clean, sir. You don't owe a thing. I'm glad I've got a salvation that never breaks down. Amen. I've got a Savior that never fails to do what He says He'll do. Amen. And as far as God's concerned, I've got a standing because my record's clean. Amen. Amen. Well, we stand here. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 12 says, he's ending his book, and he says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. Amen. He was saying, you know, you got somewhere to stand. How do we get this standing place? Well, we get it by grace. We get it by believing the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I could say it this way, we enter into this grace. And it's not a grace that you enter into and slip out of. Amen. You don't step in, step back out again. No, we have access by this grace by which we stand. Amen. I would say firmly stand. Amen. I'm standing on the solid rock. Amen. Once my feet were on slippery sand, but now by the grace of God, I stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, here he's talking about this standing that we have. This, when we accept this doctrine of justification by faith, we have peace with God. We have access into this grace. We stand in this grace. And he said, we rejoice in this grace. Verse number two again. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. We talked earlier about peace coming into the heart. Joy comes into the heart as well. The moment a person gets saved. Amen. The moment a person gets, I said earlier that not everybody shouts or gets emotional when they get saved. That's right. But everybody gets joy from the Holy Ghost. It's the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit comes in, he talks about, and we read it there in Romans chapter 5, the Holy Ghost sheds abroad the love of God in our heart. With that love comes joy and peace. Amen. All that comes along at the moment of salvation. Now, rejoice. Think about that. People might say, what do Christians have to rejoice about? I mean, you just said you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but the world is still at war. You're still in a body that may get cancer or have a heart attack. It's going to die. A lot of things haven't changed. What is there to rejoice in? Well, let me give you a few things. I got three wrote down here. When we look at our past, we see that our sins have been forgiven. I'd say that's something to rejoice about. Amen. Amen. We look at our past, we see that our sins have been blotted out of God's book by the blood of Jesus Christ. They've been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. I'd say, thank God, that is something worth rejoicing about. When we look at our present, we see that we've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He will guide us into all truth. We have the ever-present presence of Jesus Christ walking alongside of us, and we are never alone. Amen. When you feel loneliest, you're not alone. If you're a believer, amen. Look at our present. We're not the same sinful creature we once were. We're not in bondage to that sin that we were once in bondage to. Amen. We've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. I'd say that's something worth rejoicing about. The world's still at war. We're still in a body of flesh. But we look at our past, we look at our present, and we say, you know, I got something worth rejoicing about. But we've got a future. Amen. When we look to our future, we see that we have a home in heaven reserved for the child of God. That's what the hope of the glory of God. We are a prepared people. waiting on a prepared place. Amen. God's made us into new creatures in Christ Jesus, and He's made a heavenly home for us. Eternity is our destiny. We're going to be at home with Christ and at home with God. I'd say that's something to rejoice about. Now, I'm going to close in just a minute, but I think about this. I ain't even going to look to see what time it is. We're going to miss Brother Woodard. I mean, we already have been for some time, but it's going to be, you know, now because we know. Brother Woodard used to stand behind this desk and lead singing. Brother Woodard would make comments and statements, and Brother Woodard's been a faithful member of this church. He was on the board of the radio station for a good while. Actually, most people don't know this, but when I came on board, of course, as the new pastor, that moved Brother Hall off the board, and Brother Steve and Brother Woodard were on the board. And I asked Brother Woodard if he would step aside and allow Brother Hall to take his place. By the way, it's hard to ask somebody to step aside. Something that they've been doing. And I asked him to step aside and let Brother Hall take his place. You know what he did? He gladly did it. Because he wanted to honor Brother Hall. Amen. I appreciate that characteristic of him. I'm not saying that he's perfect, and I'm not here to brag him up, but to say he was a faithful member, and we're going to miss him. But we're going to see him again. I don't have to say that to prop up his family. I don't have to say that to make up some. By the way, everybody that dies don't go to heaven. Everybody does not R.I.P. Amen. Some of them are M.I.A. They're missing in action. They're going to miss out of heaven, miss out on glory. But I believe by his testimony that we'll see Brother Woodard again. Amen. And when we see him, he won't be hobbling around on a footless leg. Amen. Mrs. Woodard sat up there the night he died. She said, I have never, in all the years I've known George, she said, I've never saw him run. She said, even when he's running after the children, she said, he just sort of toddled along, you know. She said, I always thought, can't you run, man? Can't you run? She said, but I believe he's running now. Amen. Amen. Now, I get back from that. I'm using that for us because we need it, by the way. Thank God we've got a future worth rejoicing about. Not just Brother Woodard. We got family members, amen, that we believe have gone on to be with the Lord, and we're going to get to see them again one day. Amen. But if none of our friends and none of our family were ever saved, just to get to see Jesus himself, don't you believe Stephen, when he looked up and saw the Lord, he said, it's worth every mile. It's worth everything I've gone through to see my Lord. Amen. Amen. We've got a future worth rejoicing about. We got all that when we got saved. All by faith. Amen. All by grace. So our rejoicing is in the hope of the glory of God. That's what he says there at the end of verse number 2. We have hope and assurance that we shall see the glory of God. When this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality by the resurrection of our body. When we're given that new body raised from the dead, we will shout and sing praises to the glory of God. Now, I've said it multiple times. Everybody does not shout when they get saved, but I believe everybody will be happy over there. Amen. I believe they'll be shouting and singing and praising. And it won't be the preacher we're shouting, singing, and praising. It'll be Jesus we'll be shouting, singing, and praising. Amen. We'll be rejoicing in the fact that God so loved the world, which included me and you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that we believe that, and that God's promise, though it sounded too good to be true, is actually true. It's true. We can receive that peace when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can receive that joy, rejoicing. We can receive that hope. We can receive that access into this family of God. Now, if that hasn't happened to you, it could this morning. If it has happened to you, then you've got something you need to tell people about. You've got something you need to let your light shine for. Amen. For the glory of God. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I'm going to dismiss well, not dismiss yet, but we're going to end the service in a invitation time. If God spoke to you, you need to come. We'll give you opportunity to pray and call on the Lord. Salvation is not in an altar. Salvation is not in repeating a prayer. Salvation is in believing the Lord Jesus. Except taking Him at His word. Believe in God. Heavenly Father, I've tried to preach the truth. You've given me liberty, Lord. Liberty to move in my mind and thoughts. And thank you, Lord, for it. Lord, as I preached, I pray that some sinner would come to know Christ. Somebody that's been struggling, could they really believe this story? It sounds too good to be true. Could they, Lord, would you help them to recognize that it sounds so good and it is so true? Lord, I pray that you'd help those of us that are saved to rejoice in the Lord, to glory in our Lord Jesus. And we're going to read on later and deal with things later that even troubles really work for our good. I want to thank you, Lord, for salvation, and I pray you'd work it right now in somebody's heart and life and help us as saints. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. As we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you'd like to come. I want to give you that opportunity.